Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Oh, here be dragons.
Smaug.
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 I've made some pretty freaky discoveries, man.
Hello and welcome to Weird Tales and the Unexplainable. Thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you with us listening to this episode. My name is Beef and I've got my two best friends with me. Tissy, say hello.
What?
And Bobby, say hello.
Hello.
So we're just going to dive straight in, I think.
Lovely.
Because... you know, we ask each other how we are, but we've been talking for like 25 minutes already.
Yeah,
so
the people on my Patreon will hear that stuff. Don't worry.
Yeah, exactly.
Get a plug in. Wanna, get my plug in for the Patreon early. Like less than a minute in.
if you want to hear how we're all doing, then please subscribe to Bobby's Patreon and download.
Yeah, you'll hear all about an erotic adventure that I had.
That's my new favorite story.
That is fucking hilarious.
So I am going to do what we always do though, because it's good fun. Have you guys got any idea what kind of thing I'm going to tackle?
I have no idea.
No.
Tis?
No.
Have you got an idea of what like sort of genre it's going to be, Tis?
I'd opt for spooky.
I had a feeling it might be a cryptid. But now I'm going back on that. I think it might be something scientific.
Okay. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to read something. I'm not going to tell you what we're doing. I'm going to take a bit of text and read something to you. I'd like to listen to it. And if I just get it up on my phone, I'd just like you to listen to what I'm saying and then answer two questions. Number one... what is it I'm describing?
Okay.
What are you laughing at?
I'm just laughing.
I'm laughing at Tiss and Tiss is just laughing.
Okay.
What was question number two? You said we have to guess what you're talking about.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, my phone froze. Sorry.
It is cold.
Back with a bang.
Okay. And the second question is, where do you think... like, what text am I reading this from? What book? What kind of...
iPhone.
Where do you think I'm...
okay,
getting?
So what are you describing and what is the text?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, exactly. So here we go. I will not fail to speak of Leviathan's limbs, its strength and its graceful form. Who can strip off its outer coat? Who can penetrate its double coat of armour? Who dares open... you're laughing at penetrate.
Great
what
start.
Was said before
Great
that?
Start.
What was said before that? Because that was that was a lead.
I will not, I will not fail to speak of I can't
Leviathan.
Even say it.
Leviathan.
Leviathan's limbs, so off form. Its strength and its graceful form. Who can strip off its outer
strip
coat?
Strip off its outer coat, right? Straight
who
after.
Can penetrate.
Boom.
Its double coat of armor.
Boom. Right there.
Who dares open the doors of its mouth, ringed about with fearsome teeth?
Ring.
Its back has rows of shields, tightly sealed together. Each is so close to the next that no air can pass between. They are joined fast to one another. They cling together and cannot be parted. Its snorting throws out flashes of light. Its eyes are like the rays of dawn. Flames stream from its mouth. Sparks of fire shoot out. Smoke pours from its nostrils as from a boiling pot over burning reeds. Okay.
Describing a dragon.
Yeah, I thought dragon. At first I thought dinosaur, and then with the smoke I thought dragon.
I had dragon and stripped off.
Yes, yeah, and penetrating. Yeah, penetrating dragons.
I was thinking of that hobbit dragon from the new one.
Smaug.
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 Smaug. Smaug.
When you were describing it, not about penetrating.
Right. Is it from the Bible, Beef?
Mate, it is from the Bible.
I know Leviathan is mentioned in the Bible. I remember when I did my...
Dragons are mentioned in the Bible.
Biblical conspiracies one. I remember seeing the Leviathan on that. But so genuinely, that's where I recognise it from.
Ah, okay.
Because people say that's possibly where dinosaurs are mentioned in the Bible, right?
That's what I was about to say. Dinosaurs mentioned in the Bible, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I think it's... I mean... That I think it's kind of... We'll come back to Leviathan in a bit. But tonight we're going to be talking about dragons.
Oh, cool.
Here be dragons.
So, because I just...
This is like a companion to my dinosaurs one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so we're just going to delve into a bit of the history. So there's three parts. We're just going to look at the history of dragons.
Yeah.
But... When you look into the history of dragon folklore, it doesn't really do a good idea of explaining. It doesn't really explain very well, sort of, like where the idea of a dragon came from, or just it just apparently, you know, we all started thinking about dragons, you know, thousands of years ago. It doesn't actually explain where the idea
came
from.
That's really interesting, actually. When I've done research for 5 Minute Folklore, there are certain key ideas which arose all over the world, and they have similar imagery despite no communication happening like that long ago. So things like vampires as one, dragon is another one, like so many cultures have their own. You know what? Next month I was supposed to do an episode of 5 Minute about Chinese dragons. I'm going to switch the month and make it this month so we can have Dragon Month.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Dragon Month.
Brazil, you're getting pushed back to next month. China, you're coming forward. Right. to honour this as the Dragons episode, just like my Dinosaurs one, this title is going to have an exclamation mark after it, so it's going to be Dragons.
Yeah,
Dragons. Awesome.
Because dragons are really cool. Everyone likes dragons, I think.
Yeah, unless they're being eaten by dragons.
Yeah, or they're setting fire to your village or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or kissing your wife.
Yeah. While you're out at work.
I mean,
this is like me and Tessa divorced. Something really specific happened.
It's
to
like
us.
A hit. Yeah, it's like totally relatable to only us. Bloody dragons kissing on our women.
Whilst I was at work.
Sorry, Beef, I keep derailing this episode.
Yeah, let's get back on track.
You're right, Bobby. It sort of feels like, I guess, it's the same as most mythical creatures. It's not really clear where the idea of specific features of that animal come from. Like, it doesn't really explain very well. So, for example, like, why would you... If you take the features of a dragon, maybe its wings, its scales, its sharp teeth, you know, all of those exist in animals that we've had throughout history. But the fact that it breathes fire, for example, I couldn't find that anywhere, really. So we're going to look at that. We're going to look at maybe a few animals that may have kind of got people's minds whirring, you know, millenniums ago, thinking about dragons. And then I'm just going to look at three at the end, which I kind of liked. And then we'll wrap up.
Cool. Do you know what interests me most about dragons?
Go on.
The whole kind of angle that they hoard gold. They hoard riches.
Yeah, covetous.
Yeah. That's kind of like what we have right now, dragons, right? Real life. Dragons hoarding money. Do you not think? Careful. What, do you mean they listen to the show?
Peter Jones and...
Chef Bezos, if you're listening.
Theocophetus.
All of them.
Yeah, that is...
If you're hoarding fucking more money than you can spend, then you're a dragon.
Fucking dragons.
I guess the money thing is interesting. Like, what business is it of theirs to just stockpile, like, a filthy amount of money?
Yeah. Filthy.
Like Smaug as well. That's, you know, take Smaug. He's the classic example, isn't he?
Yeah.
He just sat there on top of... What's he going to do with it? He can't buy anything with it, can he? He can't buy any land. He lives in a mountain. What more land could he want? I don't get it.
This is like, you know... An allegory for, like, you know, what's it called? Like, fat cats. They got big mansions. What more do they need? They got all that money. What are they going to spend it on?
I don't think Smaug is even interested in any of that.
This is at a time where a lot of people in politics are talking about redistribution of wealth. There shouldn't be billionaires.
There shouldn't be. It's not a system that doesn't work, obviously.
No one needs a billion
in one person's pocket or a few people's pockets.
People, we've had messages fairly recently actually that say they don't like it when we talk politics, but they enjoy the show anyway. So we'll put a quash on the politics, but we'll stand
on
this. There shouldn't be billionaires.
There shouldn't be.
Should I go back to dragons?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's look at the history first of all. So, like I said, When I come to researching episodes, this is probably the most research I've done for a long time.
Whoa.
Which doesn't mean that I'm lazy or that I don't care about the quality of the pod. But I've not really needed to. But for this, I had to kind of dive quite deep to do some of research today and yesterday. And so it's not really too clear where the stories of dragons first emerged. And it seems like maybe... sort of Asian cultures were the first to kind of start putting together this idea of this mythical creature. Because I'm just gonna say this right now at the start of the episode. I am not, you know, they're not real. Dragons are not
real.
Right,
that's quite a strong stance to come down on this early, but... I'm with you.
Yeah, I can't be bothered with it because
I can.
It's just a load of old gump.
Well, of course they're not real. No, I didn't even know that was a thing that we'd have to take a stance on. I thought that's like, you know, I just want to say Jabberwocky's not real.
Jabberwocky's not real.
Dragons could be real though.
Do you think so, Tis?
Well, have you been through all the mountains? There's hundreds.
There's no fossils of them though. Is there, like, dinosaurs?
Well, who knows? Have you been fossil collecting?
No.
I fucking got you, mate. I got you in two questions.
I've been to Lyme Regis and picked up fossils on the beach.
Yeah, I've been to Lyme Regis and
no dragons.
Fossils in shops.
No dragons. Tis, you actually did go to Lyme Regis with me.
Yeah.
When did you guys go to Lyme Regis?
We were visiting my grandparents down in Weymouth one time and we decided to have a day trip out. We made Jibs drive to Lyme Regis and he hated Lyme Regis.
Yeah, he hated all the fossil shops and the beach.
He really hated it, and we actually had a nice day there.
But we went to an arcade which had the old Simpsons game, which was a sick find for an arcade. Yeah. That was back in the day when you could find those games.
I played that in Portland last week.
No shit, that's such a sick
there's
game.
Two
it's
big
impossible.
There's two it's big impossible. Barcades in Portland where you can drink good beer and play arcade machines, and it's like 25 cents to play on anything. It's awesome.
That's sick.
Loads of pinball machines. Like,
wow.
50 pinball machines.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Amazing.
So shout out to Ground Control in Portland.
Wait a minute. The name of that bar was called Ground Control.
Yeah.
That is the best name for a bar.
It was awesome.
Of that.
There's ground control games. and Quarter World was the other one, but Ground Control was really near to my where I was staying, so yeah, I went there.
Nice.
Multiple times, it was great. But anyway, back on, cool. Oh, and I saw Bob Mackie from the Talking Simpsons podcast in Ground Control.
No way.
Really? Yeah.
That's cool.
Pretty cool.
And I just thought, how much of a nerd am I that I can recognize a podcaster?
That is very nerdy, because, you know, the blissful thing about being a podcaster is I could be sat here in my pants
right exactly,
now.
Innocuous. I'm dreaming of the day where someone recognizes me.
It'll be awkward now because of how awkward you find it.
Yeah. Anyway, let's crack on with the dragons. I feel like we keep derailing.
Back to dragons. So it's not too clear. The Chinese seem to be maybe the oldest civilization other than apparently ancient Greeks and Sumerians envisaged these creatures, and there's kind of ancient, really ancient drawings of dragon-like creatures. But they always kind of considered this mythical animal and always protective, not necessarily harmful or dangerous, not out to burn down your village or sit on a pile of filthy money.
They were
kiss your wife while you're at work. they were known to be quite protective, and we'll come on to some of that later on.
Am I right in thinking that people would like give them offerings as thanks for protection and stuff in some cultures?
That's largely Asian cultures tend to do a lot of that, and a lot of Asian dragons were considered to be gods.
Uh-huh.
And like, depending on the dragon, it would kind of offer you a different either a form of protection or a financial blessing, or lots of dragons protected you from the elements.
There's examples of that, like the offerings and the protection in old New Zealand tribes. The Taniwha was the water dragons. And there's a lot of old... I did an episode of... Again, 5 Minute Folklore, I did an episode on the Taniwha, and it's ringing bells on that, so... I just remember researching about them leaving offerings in the tribes and stuff.
Yeah, it's it tends to be a lot of the and Indonesia as well, uh-huh. and Polynesia, all across that side of the world. They seem to So I guess that's where they're different. So I guess where, you know, maybe our idea of the Western dragon is probably this fierce, terrifying, fire-breathing creature.
Well, it's like George and the Dragon, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And obviously in the mind of Tolkien and J.K. Rowling, there's dragons in Harry Potter, right?
Yeah, I just thought... Yeah, of course there is. In like, they're the Goblet dragons in the fourth one, Goblet of Fire.
Oh, in the fire, Goblet of Fire, yeah.
I was just thinking, you know how we all like refer to St. George and the Dragon? And we sort of know that story. Is that just like, is that known all over the world? Or is that just like, we all know that because we live in England? If I said St. George and the Dragon to an American, would they have an idea what I was talking about at all?
I think so. Americans definitely, I think, Yeah, I definitely think so. But obviously medieval, that's a medieval thing, isn't it? And they freaking love dragons in the medieval times. Because that's, you know, storytelling as we, you know, come back to Shakespeare. We've talked about this on the Shakespeare pod. Like, you know, storytelling was a huge part of their culture. So, you know, this idea of, you know, this wonderful knight going and killing this dragon and the damsel in distress, all of that comes from that, doesn't it? So going back to this idea of, we just talked a lot about dragons being protective and offering spiritual blessings. It was actually the Christians, blooming Christians, for some reason dragons seem to interpret and actually read the Bible. Dragons are in the Bible. They're in, they're in the Book of Job, which is where we hear about Leviathan. We'll come on to Leviathan later. And, we find dragons in Revelation and I think in the book of Isaiah, I think. But the dragons tend to be a symbol of like evil and a symbol of in some ways of like destruction and in some cases of like God's anger and wrath of like, you know, fiery, sinister behavior. And sometimes referring to Satan as a dragon, that kind of all-encompassing evil creature that can destroy you. And yeah, all of that comes from a Christian viewpoint. I don't know why. I couldn't actually find out why. I spoke to a friend of mine who's got a PhD and he didn't know either. He's got no idea why.
So like the story of George and the dragon would have come from the Christian ideas of what a dragon is.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, and I think also, yeah, don't forget, obviously medieval times, the idea of hell was like really prevalent and weighed heavily on people's minds. And it you know, this idea of sort of pleasing God or ending up in an eternal furnace of fire, you know, that was really real to people. Mm. So... and that's what, yeah, that's what the dragon symbolized was hell and fire and like eternal judgment and damnation. So yeah, I think that's probably why in medieval times, the George and the Dragon stuff probably kind of, I don't actually know for sure, but it makes sense.
This
it?
Is my weird thing about George and the Dragon. Sorry to keep harping on about George, but, because I thought about
George and the Dragon.
When I did my UK episode of 5 minutes, so I'd hop on about 5 minutes as well, I was going to do George and the Dragon, and I stopped because I was like, is this folklore or is this a real person? Because the saints are supposed to be real people.
Yeah.
But the dragon wasn't real. So what the hell is up with the UK's patron saint? Like, all the other saints did like things that you can document and they were real people. But we're supposed to believe that ours went and killed a dragon.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think maybe... Do you think that's why we don't really do St. George's Day?
Well, I don't know. Some people do. St. George's Day gets wrapped up in a lot of getting political.
Which, Beef, which saints were the ones that went marching in?
He hasn't done his research. He doesn't know.
Unraveled. It's unraveled, mate. On that question, it's unraveled.
There's a
very famous song.
Well, there is.
Mate, it's a very famous song. Come on,
come on. Who are the saints?
It's probably Spurs.
Spurs.
Southampton, and Northampton, aren't they? They're the saints, aren't they?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Done.
Northampton Saints.
Well, Southampton Football Club. But Northampton Rugby Club are also saints.
No, but does that song not originate from the Bible?
No.
When the saints go marching in. Is that not...
It's not biblical, I'm afraid, Tis.
Is it really not?
Are you joking? Do you actually think that's biblical?
I'm not joking. I swear that's a medieval song, when the saints go marching in.
No.
Was it made by, like, football fans?
Yeah.
Or something?
It's like a football chant.
No. I don't have the internet right now, so I can't confirm or deny this, but
I'm looking now
on this one.
So you want to know basically the origin of...
No, let's carry on. I'll come back to this.
But yeah, I don't know. I was talking like it was
common knowledge that the saints go marching in is a biblical song, but I just didn't know who the saints
were. I like they were really going deep on this as if the topic is saints. The topic is dragons.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Every time we go off on one of these rants, all that rings through my head is the bad reviews of people listening to the pod for 10 minutes.
Yeah, we've had a few
having
recently.
To turn it off because
we're idiots. Yeah, I had a few reviews recently that people said we're idiots. But if you like the show, give us a review on iTunes because we really need them at the moment.
Sorry, carry on.
Yeah, the one that I read that I still can't get over is the guy that listened to like 50 minutes and then decided he didn't like it. Like, how did you get 50 minutes into something before you decided it's not for you?
He was waiting for us to get onto the topic.
I don't think we've ever done an episode where it's taken us 50 minutes to get onto a topic, has there?
I feel we're not as bad at getting onto a topic nowadays, apart from this episode.
Yeah, exactly. We've gone on for a bit here.
Yeah, okay. On point now.
Yeah, to be honest, I didn't really focus on George and the Dragon at all, because I didn't really... But Saints could be something for another day. Mm. I find that interesting.
Okay, I've just found this. I've just found this information. The origins of the song are unclear. It apparently evolved in the early 1900s from a number of similarly titled gospel songs, including When the Saints Are Marching In and When the Saints March In for Crowning, 1908 and 1896.
There you go.
There you go.
Saints, yeah, Saints would actually be a pretty good topic of like the true stories behind some of the saints, like Saint Nick, Saint George. These are quite like mythical creatures, but they're actually real people. So like, where's the line? Anyway.
Yeah. Shotgun that. I'll do that one.
All right.
Yeah. So we'll come back to Leviathan later on and the biblical idea of dragons later on. But I think the idea of a dragon and what a dragon was to people is fairly similar. If you look throughout the different cultures across the world, you know, I guess if you look at a Western dragon, it's described pretty much as Leviathan from the Bible. You know, the scales, the wings, the, you know, it's breathing fire, all that kind of stuff, the claws, the sharp teeth. But Chinese dragons don't seem to look like that. They seem to have quite like flat teeth, and they're not menacing, and they've got like kind of like wise, wispy hair, and
some of them almost have like manes.
Yeah, they kind of
look like a big lion.
Yeah.
Look like, oh no, that's a dog. I'm thinking of the one from Neverending Story.
Oh yeah.
They don't look like that.
No, not really. I hate that film.
Whoa. No.
Yeah, terrible film.
No, so good. I'm not joking, mate. Don't badmouth that film.
I didn't realize
it's a really big part of my childhood.
Oh, right. Wow.
Neverending Story. I don't think I've seen it.
Well, you're going to hear more of it because it's the outro music this week now. If it wasn't for me already deciding on the outro music, it would be.
So the belief in dragons was not just based on legend or myth, but to begin with, what people thought was hard evidence, because people over time were discovering dinosaur fossils, dinosaur bones, and people didn't tend to really have the knowledge of dinosaurs, because obviously a dinosaur, as we said about on the dinosaur episode, we talked about how dinosaurs are so unlike anything else that we have around us at the moment in the world, whereas a dragon kind of takes different features from different animals that we're aware of. So you can kind of see why people would say, oh yeah, that's a dragon bone, rather than this creature they've never heard of. The word dragon comes from the ancient Greek word drakonta, meaning to watch, which is where the idea of guarding treasure comes from. And sitting in mountains, this idea of watching over something. So obviously you can kind of see where the legend would kind of grow from that word and the origins of that word, that, you know, a creature on top of a mountain watching over, protecting finances and treasure. I don't know why it's treasure still.
They just like treasure.
Yeah, maybe they just like the gold, I guess.
Yeah.
Not really sure, to be honest with that. So that's a brief history of dragons. That's as much as that I could find that kind of gives us an idea of where dragons came from. But it seems like originally It was the ancient Greeks, the Sumerians, and the ancient Chinese civilizations that kind of first got this legend going. Mm. Do you guys find any of that surprising, or does that sound about what you would kind of expect?
I knew there was a lot of it came from ancient China, because that's why I was going to do my episode on ancient Chinese dragons for folklore. I didn't realize that the Greeks and the Sumerians had such a hand in the original dragon ideas.
Mm. Yeah, what about you, Tis?
Yeah, it kind of falls in. I guess the only reference I have to dragons is Smaug.
Yeah.
Back to Smaug again.
Yeah, that's the only reference. George and the Dragon, I kind of remember, but I'm still not familiar with the tale, apart from he slays the dragon.
There's not much to it. It's just like, he's... Isn't it like the king's daughter or something is in the cave, or the guy who runs the town's daughter's in a cave, different version of the story, and the dragon's terrorizing the town. George walks up there, slays the dragon, frees the woman, and then he's a saint. There's not much to it. He kills a dragon, frees a woman. It's like the classic.
I think George would argue against not much.
All of the day's work.
Just fucking easy.
It's basically
mate.
Shrek.
Yeah, it's just that classic. It's the classic sort of medieval fantasy tale. Kill the dragon, save the princess. Bada bing, bada boom.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Okay, so where does this idea of dragons come from? Where is it possible maybe that people got this idea of this creature from? Because for some reason, you know, different people from different civilizations, you know, thousands of miles across the world had this idea of a dragon, or this idea of of an animal or a being or a creature that resembles what we know to be a dragon. So what do you guys think? Is there anything you can kind of think of, or any animals that you can think of that would kind of add a bit of...
What, real animals?
Yeah, can you think of any real animals that would kind of get this rolling?
Big lizard.
Yeah, big fat lizard, like a crocodile.
Specific lizards? Oh,
sorry.
What's that lizard in Australia? You know the one,
Komodo dragon.
That's the one.
I saw one in Sri Lanka, and it scared the shit out of me because I couldn't believe I saw one. I didn't realize they had them there, and it just
massive,
ran across the field, like to the left of me, and I was like, "Fucking hell!" Like, yeah, scary shit.
They're big, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And they're quick. I couldn't believe how quick it ran.
Yeah, they're really fast, mate. Yeah, horrible buggers.
Was
Komodo
like a dragon.
Dragons.
So that.
I mean, particularly with Indonesia, don't they have Komodo Island?
Oh, I don't know. I don't want to go there if they do.
Pretty sure.
Just go on holiday to Komodo Island. Start digging my grave.
I feel like that's something I need to get right, though. So let me just double check that. I'm pretty sure there's Komodo Island, which is in Indonesia, I think. Yeah, Komodo Island is one of the islands that comprises the Republic of Indonesia.
Nah, forget it. I'm not going there.
Yeah, mate. Could you imagine that? That is terrifying.
There's no humans that live on that island, right?
Yeah.
Really? There were.
Well, they're all dead now. They've been eaten.
Do they
by
actually attack
dragons.
Humans?
They can do. They've been known to, yeah.
Ugh.
In researching for this, I watched a couple of episodes of. So I watched an episode of Deadly 60,
right,
which is a CBBC program. It's meant for like teenagers, but it's still fine. They just eat whatever they want.
Oh, well, who's going to stop them?
Yeah, you're not going to be able to outrun one, are you? You saw one running. Are they?
It was surprisingly quick.
Like, would you say you'd be able to outrun it?
I don't know what it'd be like at top speed in like, pursuit, because they kill sheep and stuff, don't they?
Sheep. And then apparently eat goats and been known to eat cows.
Yeah, that's it. The guy was telling me that they attacked some cows.
It's pretty terrifying, isn't it, really?
So other animals that may be like dragons, you said crocodiles, Beef.
Yeah, if we're talking about...
Crocs and gators.
Yeah, if we talk So, yeah, I should have been a bit clearer. I guess from an evolutionary point of view, is there anything that you could think that would kind of cause humans to kind of put, if you were to put like a hybrid of animals together to create a dragon, what animals would you use in the sense of being fearful of particular animals, if that makes sense? Like if you were to put together, so a Komodo dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah, crocodiles are probably...
Crocs and gators.
Yeah.
Alligators.
Said that to see.
Yeah.
I just wanted their full name in there.
I also thought anacondas and...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Big snake.
Yeah.
I don't like snakes.
No, snakes are horrible, aren't they?
Well...
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of snakes at all. When we were at Butlin's last week, we went to something called Animal Antics. There's the guy doing it. It was basically like a Steve Irwin type guy, and he brought out these different animals to show all the kids. And he brought out this boa constrictor, and I nearly pooed my pants.
I really don't like them. They make me feel very uncomfortable.
Yeah, forget it. Forget it, mate. But the reason I ask about this idea of being scared, or if we were to create like a hybrid of animals, is because according to a guy called David Jones, he's an anthropologist. He wrote a book called...
David Bowie?
David Bowie wrote this book.
It's his real name, isn't it?
I had forgotten about that. So Bowie wrote this book.
That's why he performed under Bowie, because he wanted to keep his dragon expertise a separate identity.
Yeah. To be discovered by three idiots on a pod who are clearly drunk, talking shit, apparently, according to those reviews.
Yeah.
He wrote a book called An Instinct for Dragons. In the book, basically, I can't stop thinking about Barry now. Jones asked this question about why dragons seem to be, they're just everywhere. They just seem to cover the world when it comes to, pretty much every country on the planet, definitely every continent has this idea of dragons. And he wrote this book in almost like a pursuit of trying to understand where this came from to begin with. And his research came up with some pretty decent ideas. I can see like how this makes sense. But a direct quote from his book is that when imagining dragons, people always take their cue from reality. And so he looked at one of our closest ancestors. So he looked at a group of fervent monkeys. And they have three main predators. And that is snakes, eagles, and big cats.
Big birds, the wings.
Big bird.
Yeah, exactly.
Big bird, yeah.
Big bird, yeah, from Sesame Street. So he is a...
that is libelous. That's not going in.
That is fucking libel, mate.
Sorry.
Big birds, big lizards, big cats, snakes.
Yeah. Yeah, and you think all of them have those features in common, so they're... so maybe like the roar of a big cat, of a tiger or a lion or something like that. All these animals have claws. Yeah. The scales of a snake and the strength, like particularly of an anaconda. And actually, if you take eagles, you could then argue that goes back to like a pterodactyl, or something like that. Maybe that.
I'm thinking of like a griffin as well, which is another mythological beast.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So again, you can kind of see how maybe if you're talking from an evolutionary point of view, humans have kind of got an instinct of fear built into them to be fearful of these animals. I'm guessing because of, we know what they can do. They can make mincemeat of you if they want to. Like particularly an eagle, I had no idea how massive eagles are. They are absolutely ginormous. Wingspan of like 12 feet.
Yeah, I went to a bird sanctuary with my dad a couple of years ago, and they had a bald eagle there, and he called it. It flew through the fields from behind him and landed on the I was sitting like a stand, it landed on the bars in front of me, and it was like fucking massive. I was really shocked to see one in the flesh, how big it was.
Yeah. They're scary. They're really scary. Their claws are so big as well. Yeah, their talons are absolutely huge. So I quite liked this idea of it being like an inbuilt thing. And so because of that, our imagination took our ancestors to create drawings or to birth these legends of a dragon or of a creature that combines all of these. You know, it's a bit like when you're at school and you kind of like, oh, what would it be like if you could draw like a lion combined with a gorilla with a tail of a scorpion? And, you know, that's the kind of thing. Well, that's what I used to do anyway. It got me thinking about the fire breathing thing, though, because I still don't really get where this idea of fire comes from, because it just doesn't fit with anything. It seems
that seems like like you said, like the Chinese dragons didn't really do it, and in terms of, it feels like a Christian addition, like to represent scariness, to represent hell and the fire and brimstone, that sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what I thought. But this dude, Dave Jones, in his book, made some interesting arguments for, particularly with snakes.
I've made some pretty freaky discoveries, man.
that's what he sounds like as well. Spitting cobras.
Oh, so, okay.
Whilst they don't breathe fire, this idea of animals that can produce venom or something which burns. So it's necessarily the fire, it's the burning. So, you know, spitting cobras project this venom from their teeth. Mm. Also, the sting of a bullet ant. I was looking at a short, almost like a mini documentary about bullet ants, and I had no idea how, but apparently the pain that comes from being stung by a bullet ant is almost unbearable.
Are they just like normal sized ants?
They're a bit bigger, but they're not like, it's not like a dog sized ant.
Because I'm not really familiar with them. And they're, what, they got a sting or a bite or something?
Yeah, it's a bite. But one person described it, and I wrote it down because it's like, it sounds horrible. Described it as like walking over flaming charcoal with a 3-inch nail embedded in your heel.
Oh. I mean, that's a description, isn't it?
It's pretty awful.
How big?
Bullet ants. Let's find out. So they're kind of, they are bigger than normal ants. They're kind of like obviously if you were to look at photos, you know, they are bigger than normal ants, but they're not that much bigger, really. They just seem to have
they're not like rats.
No. They're like maybe like an inch long.
And rat-sized ants.
That can bite you.
Oh, they can all bite you.
But there's one animal which I really love this idea of maybe the idea of a fire-breathing dragon coming from animals that spit or animals that can project something towards you or like release something from their body that's going to hurt you.
A llama. They spit.
A llama. They do spit.
A fire-breathing llama.
That, I mean, wouldn't be the most terrifying animal, really, would it?
No. Tell me what the most terrifying animal is, though. Go on.
Well, it's not terrifying. I feel like I'd heard about this years ago and forgotten about it. Have you guys heard of a bombardier beetle?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, because I'm just going to play a video now. Obviously, for you, it's just all audio. Yeah. But I just wanted to listen to what this animal is capable of, because I love it. I think it's great.
The bombardier beetle is one of nature's most improbable creatures. For some, it throws a monkey wrench into the whole idea of evolution. This beetle is a walking powder keg. That cloud you see is the result of a lightning-fast chemical reaction inside his body. When attacked, the beetle sets off the explosion, releasing a boiling, hot, stinging poison that sends his enemies running. He can even aim it. This potent mixture inside the beetle is made up of three main ingredients. Mix the first two of them together and nothing happens, but throw in the third and boom! So the beetle has a trick. He keeps these ingredients separate inside his body. From an evolutionary standpoint, that's what's interesting. In fact, people have been scratching their heads over this for decades. How did this complex system evolve over time? Wouldn't earlier generations of beetles have blown themselves up like a bunch of amateur bomb makers? To some, this beetle's very survival is proof that the whole theory of evolution is wrong. But it turns out there is a way this system could have evolved gradually. Remember that third ingredient? It's an enzyme. It's like a spark. It sets the explosion in motion. And enzymes evolve. At first, maybe this one wasn't so dangerous. But gradually, it became more potent, more specialized, more explosive, as the beetle's body changed to contain it. Scientists at UC Berkeley are trying to figure out how this system came together. They think one of those explosive chemicals evolved from the same raw materials as the beetle's shell. That happens a lot in evolution. It's called exaptation, one body part repurposed for something else. The improbable bombardier beetle. Living proof that what doesn't kill you only makes you stronger.
So that's the bombardier beetle.
Don't like that.
No, it sounds horrible. And obviously, you couldn't see the video, but in one of the shots, it had a shot of a tarantula kind of like creeping up on it to come and snack on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it releases this.
I think I've seen this beetle before, yeah.
Yeah, and then this tarantula doesn't like it.
Not in real life.
Was it kissing your wife while you were at work?
If people do want to see that video, I'll put a link to it on the blog as well.
Yeah, so I kind of like this idea of perhaps we're maybe looking in the wrong areas. We're looking for animals that breathe fire, and actually it's not about the fire. It's this, like, this horrible beetle that can produce burning acid to scare off its prey. Or a spitting cobra, which can fire venom into your eyes that blinds you. So, what do you guys think of that?
Jesus.
I think it's interesting that there are things, like, you think of a dragon as being a fully fantastical, fictional creature, but it's interesting to look at it from a way of, actually, you can make up a lot of the elements of this creature from things that actually do exist in nature, even if it is something, I'm losing my voice now. Listeners to my Patreon will know that I'm extremely ill right now. You can make these from what exists in nature. You can make the elements of the idea of like burning and the scales and things and make this amalgamation of things that almost creates a dragon. It's a really interesting way of looking at it.
I quite liked this. Is a different angle, and it's one that makes sense to me in terms of humans kind of creating something out of a place of being fearful. Particularly in the West, maybe, if that's where it's come from. This idea of what would you, particularly if you look at this idea of a fire-breathing dragon in the West, you know, you're looking at this, what's an animal that's going to create fear in people so that they don't want to go to hell, or they want to be fearful of the devil, you know, then it is, that's what it, That's what it looks like, isn't it?
Mm. And some Western ideas of dragons will also have like big horns as well, like the devil.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so that was just a little segment on where the idea actually comes from in the first place. Because, like I said, we look at the...
Sorry.
No, go on.
It just came to me. I think that dragons looked like those massive eagles. Did you see those on your travels?
Real or fictional?
No, real. It was funny because it had a caption saying this eagle looks like a human wearing an eagle costume, and it does, but it's got like a massive dragon face, and I was thinking like the face of a dragon with the... What would you call them? That the flaps that accentuate the head, like the sort of...
Oh, some dinosaurs have them. There is a name for them. It's not like a frill. It might be a frill.
Yeah. That's yeah.
I know what you mean, like the scaly plates that go up.
Yeah, yeah. Such huge eagle. Found it, harpy eagle.
Eagle. Oh, yeah, harpy eagle. That's, yeah.
There's something about an eagle's eyes as well, isn't it?
Yeah, they look right through your soul.
We're all waiting with bated breath on Tiss's harpy eagle.
Yes, harpy eagle, 100%. There's certain pictures that definitely resemble dragon-like head frills and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I can see. Yeah, I see, totally, particularly with its beak.
Yeah, and you think they're fucking huge, man. They definitely hunted humans.
Its beak and its face, the whole thing about it actually is quite dragon-like.
And they breathe fire.
Well, maybe. If you've had enough burning bush. Harpy eagle is the largest eagle. 200 centimetres. 2 meters.
Wow.
That's huge, isn't it?
Yeah, that's pretty big.
That's like too big.
Fucking meters, mate. And the small ones can get you. So that one is avenue for lunch.
You know how a seagull nicks your sandwich and you get pissed off? If that nicks your sandwich,
I would hate it.
Despite take more their than wingspan, sandwich, take your hand.
They can reach up to 2 meters across. The wingspan is 2 meters across as well.
Yeah, it's pretty massive.
Yeah. Well, do you think like monsters and stuff resemble, like you're saying, dragons? They resemble old things from before we were, like when we were hunting, when we were being hunted, when we were still on the food chain. Do you think it's residual, like, anxiety and fear from those days carried over and made creative by the left brain or something like that? No, the right brain.
You know, like fish stories, when you say, oh, it was this big, and you over-exaggerate it.
Yeah.
If a hunter sees a harpy eagle, that's pretty scary enough, but he might exaggerate it and then draw a cave painting and it looks like a dragon. He'll be like, yeah, and it was breathing fire too.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Where were their cave paintings to show the dragons? Wait, are there cave paintings of dragons?
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if the Egyptians have done a hieroglyphic version of the dragon. They've turned up in all sorts of places, though, right?
Well, dragons.
Dragoons, yeah.
Yeah, all over the world. Almost
dragoons,
every country.
Yeah. Dragoons.
Dragoons. Dragoon. The world's largest eagle, by the way, just as a little side fact, is the Hast eagle, which is 3 meters across. That's massive, isn't it? That's like half my living room.
It's too big for a bird.
Yeah, as birds go, it's pretty big. Imagine like an eagle and then like a hummingbird. They're so different. Hummingbirds are like the size of, what, like a 50p or something.
When I was younger, I used to think birds were really boring. They were like my least favourite animal. And as I get older, the more I think birds are like awesome and one of my favourite animals.
Yeah, they're great.
But they are like, I like all the birds, but like they are indifferent to you and they would kill you if they could. So they're kind of right?
Well, if you like.
I don't think it would kill you.
Actually, no, mate. Ducks are pretty cool.
Ducks.
I've just been looking at dinosaur and dragon cave paintings while you guys have been, and there's nothing that's explicitly like obviously a dragon, but there's a few things that people would argue could potentially represent it. So yeah.
Geese are quite aggressive.
Yeah.
One jumped in the road the other day. We tried to rescue it and it was having none of it. It went and had a little walk down the road, tried to find its owner. They weren't in, and it pissed off, basically. Its mate in the cage up in the garden was well pissed off, like proper pecking the sides.
Yeah, scary.
Just leave it to its own devices.
Basically dragons, aren't they, geese? Anyway, Beefy.
Talking of geese, let's get back to dragons. Yeah, so I just thought that was an interesting and that kind of satisfied my curiosity about the idea of dragons in the first place, because it doesn't really, you know, it's one thing to know that the Greeks and the Sumerians, the Chinese, all were maybe the first people groups to imagine these creatures, but it doesn't really explain why they imagined them or where they came from. But the idea of like a fear instinct and us being fearful of different animals. And like you say, like, you know, a hunter going out, finding a massive eagle and it being, having like this big fight with it, it would go back, draw it down. Like, oh, you never guess what I saw. But yeah, what was it? It was like an eagle. What's an eagle? Oh, I'll draw one. It's like that. Mm. And then it draws the human and the human's tiny. It's like, wow, was it really that big? And then by that time, you've gone down the rabbit hole and you're like, yeah, it's like absolutely massive, mate. Actually, they're called dragons.
I think more it's, this is my theory, that it is just, it's from that creative place we all pull our creativity from and the storytelling, and that is connected to like your deep fears from human passed down knowledge, like a collective knowledge or something.
Yeah.
And that's, dragons are just harpy eagles that are hunting you.
It is. I mean, it's, you can see how it comes about. You know, we, particularly with the way tribes or people groups, you know, communicate, it's, you know, word gets about, doesn't it? And before you know it, Barry from down the road's been banging on and on about some animal he saw and you start believing it.
Yeah.
You can see it, and then before you know it.
Same with symbols, right? Symbols turn up all over the globe. No connections.
Yeah, that's the side of that sort of stuff that always interests me. It's like we said about the sleep paralysis thing and people seeing the hag and the guy with the top hat or, you know, the certain figures. And all over the world, people describe the same idea. And it's just like a collective consciousness thing that we have.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah. I had a little spate of what I would consider the closest I've had to sleep paralysis the other night. It was
really
fucking terrifying.
That sounds awful.
Really?
Yeah, I woke up screaming and not being able to move. It was really scary.
Shit. Were you actually screaming? Mate,
I've been, like I said, I've been really ill and I've been having really fucking crazy fever dreams, like nightmares and shit. But
I get those.
Yeah, it's pretty awful. But I woke up not being able to breathe, not being able to move, and just like screaming, but not having the air to scream. So it's just like it was horrible.
Oh, mate.
Yeah, man, it's really scary.
Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah. For more of my terrifying dreams, get on the Patreon. Weird Tales Revisited, episode 3. I talk about it on that.
What's that, the fourth time you've
I'm really pushing that Patreon this month. We're working on lots of stuff for it, so I want people to experience, because people are enjoying it. I just want more people to enjoy it.
Absolutely. Get on board with it, guys. If you've not downloaded it already, why not? Go do it right now.
And if you jump on board now, you've got a whole backlog of stuff to come. For a fiver, you've got like 3 months worth of stuff. Anyway.
Okay. So I'm just going to move on now to the last little segment of the pod before we close up for this episode. There are so many different myths about dragons out there. For almost every country you can think of, definitely across Europe, Africa, Asia, North America, South America, it's just, there's dragons everywhere. So I wanted to come back to the Leviathan.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, because how that's just bizarre to me that dragons would be in the Bible.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, I'm just going to read this description again. Because this is a dragon. When you listen to it, this is a dragon. I will not fail to speak of Leviathan's limbs, its strength and its graceful form. I'm not reading the next bit because Tiss finds it funny. Who dares open the doors of its mouth, ringed about with fearsome teeth? Its back has rows of shields tightly sealed together. Each is so close to the next that no air can pass between. They are joined fast to one another. They cling together and cannot be parted. Its snorting throws out flashes of light. Its eyes are like the rays of dawn. Flames stream from its mouth. Sparks of fire shoot out. Smoke pours from its nostrils as from a boiling pot over burning reeds. Its breath sets coals ablaze and flames dart from its mouth. Strength resides in its neck. Dismay goes before it. So that's a dragon to me.
Yeah, definitely. You reading that again, like, it's so a dragon. It describes everything about it, the teeth, the scales, the flames, everything. And that more and more makes me feel like the Western idea of a dragon, which I don't think is as ancient as like some of the other ideas of a dragon and looks kind of different. I do just feel like that is someone drawing Leviathan from the Bible.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much...
Yeah, in the same way that people, like, in Lovecraft stories, he'll describe these beings which are beyond comprehension, and they have these crazy descriptions to them. But then you get these... people attempt to draw them, and there's, like, representations, especially the really famous ones like Cthulhu and things like that. And it feels similar to that, people trying to draw that description of something that he's only put in text.
Yeah.
Dragons... in Western society feel like people trying to draw the description of Leviathan from the Bible.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, and actually if you look online, it's, if you were to type in biblical dragon, it is basically, you know, the dragons from Game of Thrones or,
yeah, the classic,
you know, Smaug.
Idea.
It is classic, like Skyrim dragon.
Yeah.
The reason I find this fascinating is obviously not just because of my faith, but it just feels like a really peculiar thing, and I'm not really sure what to make of it because it's in the book of Job, and Job is in the collection of books. Of the collection of prophetic books. So I think I've spoken to you boys on the pod before about, you know, obviously the Bible is not just one big book. It contains different genres. So you've got poetry, you've got like allegory and stories, and there's lots of like moral, almost like what they call like parables and moral fables almost. But if you look through the books of the prophets, a lot of the language is very allegorical and loads of picture language and lots of poetry. And I guess it's the way that prophets speak. They use metaphor to try and illustrate something that they see happening or something that they're trying to express something about God. So, you know, the idea of the Leviathan, you know, all of this imagery and... you being able to, like, I could draw that, I could read that and then draw what he's talking about.
You
know, fits with this idea of Job or the, you know, the books of the prophets, with it being loads of picture language and metaphor and not, you know, it's not literal. So maybe a Leviathan isn't a literal dragon or this creature. Maybe it's a metaphor for something else. But actually, this is where a lot of my research went into. I went on three different university websites and looked for different journals to look just for an answer for this, and an overwhelming amount of biblical scholars all seem to think that he's talking about a whale.
Oh, a whale?
A whale.
Just because it's massive.
That's really strange.
One particular scholar, I'm not really too sure what I think about this, seemed to think
I've heard of a whale referred to as Leviathan before, but not in that biblical context.
But I, the thing I can't shake is how vivid the fire breathing imagery is. It's
yeah,
so strong.
Yeah, they really lay that on thick.
Yeah.
Smoke, nostrils, flame. Not underwater, mate. Not on a whale.
No. And one particular scholar, Michael V. Fox, not Michael J. Fox.
Oh my God, there's another pseudonym going on here.
seems to think that maybe it was obviously like a whale blowing water out of its blowhole, maybe right. doing that in the silhouette of a sunset. Maybe that looks like fire being shot out, but I don't buy that at all. So it remains a bit of a mystery, Leviathan. I'm going to keep digging and see what I can find out. I mean, maybe, and it's in the context of God, it's actually God describing this animal.
I mean, there's the Bible's full of metaphor and stuff.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be a literal thing. And I mean, what is the context in which he's describing Leviathan? Is he just saying there's a beast around out there?
No, well, this is what I was going to come on to. So it's in the context, so it's actually God is describing Leviathan, and he's talking to Job. Job is having a pretty crappy time. His life's not going very well, and he's blaming God for a lot of what's going on. This is when then God starts describing this beast, this animal. And at the end of the chapter, he starts talking about how much more powerful than Leviathan he is.
Mm.
So he's basically saying, mate, if I created Leviathan, and, you know, he starts talking about the strength and the power of Leviathan, I'm much stronger than that. So put your trust in me and I will deliver you from whatever it is you're worrying about. So it's in the context of God trying to get Job's eyes back on, like, the goodness of God or the power of God. I don't really know what I think. Some scholars say a crocodile as well, but mostly it's whales, which is really strange, I think.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know if I can get behind the whale.
No, I'm not having that at all.
It's really strange because during the episode, I actually googled giant whale.
Right.
After I googled harpy eagle, but it's because I was trying to think of a big animal. But it's just really strange that you'd say whale and I was googling it. That's a strange coincidence.
Yeah.
I mean, if I think about whales too much, we spoke about this on my, like, ocean episodes, they're freaking ridiculous that these things exist. It is the sense of scale on a whale is ridiculous. Yeah. It's I can't even get my head around it.
Two football pitches on their side could go through their veins.
Is that true?
Two football pitches.
That feels too much. That feels too big. That feels like you've definitely, that's too much, man.
Imagine that. Imagine veins the size of two football pitches
on their sides could go through a whale's vein.
Yeah, that's mental.
That's not
true.
That's too big. Yeah, I'm not going for that.
Back when there was loads of oxygen on Earth, I reckon that's how big they were, though.
Yeah.
They didn't have football pitches back then, though. So.
Well, the football pitches were smaller reference. As well. People were smaller back then.
No, wait, they would be bigger, right? Because there's more oxygen.
But we've got bigger as a species. Think really? Of old houses, how small the doors are.
You got me there. Sorry, people.
I'm not very tall, but even I'm like hunching through them little doors.
That is so... Oh, God. Amazing.
So that's Leviathan. I was going to wrap up the episode really quickly. We touched on Chinese dragons earlier.
Yeah.
I just want to really briefly just look at that. And we also looked at the different types of dragons. So, I'm just going to set off and we've got a little bit of audio to listen to.
Have you seen Dragonheart?
No. What's that?
You've never seen Dragonheart?
Is that where someone's voicing a dragon?
Sean Connery.
Yeah.
Is that why I've not seen it? Because it's Sean Connery.
It came out when I was a kid. I went to the cinema to see it.
No, I don't know.
Yeah, the prince has like the heart of a dragon or half of the cut part of a dragon's heart and give it to him when he's dying or something. It's ridiculous. I loved it when I was a kid.
I won't slag it off then because I don't want to do a never-ending story.
Well, you didn't even like
never-end
a story, mate, so there's no pleasing you.
It's bored. Boring.
Too busy watching Harry and the Hendersons.
Again.
Right, Chinese dragons.
Let's go.
Chinese dragons are strongly associated with water. In popular belief, they are believed to be the rulers of moving bodies of water, such as waterfalls, rivers, or seas. In traditional Chinese beliefs, there are four major dragon kings representing each of the four seas. The East Sea, which is corresponding to the East China Sea, the South Sea, corresponding to the South China Sea, the West Sea, sometimes seen as the Indian Ocean and beyond, and the North Sea, sometimes seen as Lake Baikal. Because of this association, they are seen as in charge of water-related weather phenomenon. In pre-modern times, many Chinese villagers, especially those close to rivers and seas, had temples dedicated to their local dragon king. In times of drought or flooding, it was customary for local officials to lead the community in offering sacrifices and conducting other religious rites to appease the dragon. According to Chinese literature and myths, there are mainly nine types of Chinese dragons. The horned dragon, which is said to be the most powerful generalized type of Chinese dragon. The winged dragon associated with rains and floods. This dragon is believed to be used by the Yellow Emperor Huang Di to kill Shiyou. The celestial dragon, also called Tianlong, is the guardian of gods and a protector of heaven. The spiritual dragon, the Shenlong, brings rain and controls the weather. The dragon of the rivers and the seas was called Dilong. Tai Long, or the treasure dragon, who is probably a long-lost distant cousin of Smaug, you know, from The Hobbit, guards jewels and metals and is associated with the volcano. The quarreling dragon, a lake dragon that has not ascended to heaven. The yellow dragon, a hornless dragon symbolizing the emperor. The last of the nine are the dragon kings, and we talked about that before. They each rule over one of the seas from east, north, west, and south.
And there we go. So there's a really quick kind of history of Chinese dragons.
And that's the stuff I'm going to be banging on about on 5 Minute this month. If you want more detail on that, listen to that. If I get around to it, it might be next month. It's going to take me a while to research.
The more on topic.
Yeah. Much more on topic.
Sorry, Beef.
Yeah. I don't have other people on there to distract me.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So basically in the 5th millennium BC, there was this discovery of a dragon statue in China, which kind of propelled people into thinking about them. But he went through the nine different types of Chinese dragons really quickly.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to go through them again, but not in any real depth, don't worry. So there's the, I'm going to get these pronunciations all wrong. But I apologize for that.
I hope you've been practicing these all day.
No, that doesn't sound like me, does it? So there's the Tianlong, which is the celestial dragon, which is they protect the celestial palace and carry it. The Shenlong, the spiritual dragon, which controls wind and rainfall and clouds. And then it is blue. I don't know why it's blue, it doesn't say. And there's the Fukanyong, which is the dragon of hidden treasures. They live underground, protecting the stones and strange minerals. So Smaug is a Fukanyong. Dinlong is the dragon of the underworlds, dragons of the earth, that they kind of like run the rivers and streams. And they're said to be feminine, and they mate with the Shenlong. Apparently. The
lucky old Shenlong.
Yeah. Getting his end away. Then there's Yinlong is classical Chinese dragon. If you were to think, particularly with like when you get like a Chinese dragon, which people, you know, they dance and like you see them, that's with the tashes. Yeah, exactly. That's Yinlong, which was a faithful servant to the Yellow Emperor, who became a dragon forever. Then there's Zhao Long, This is the one which apparently the least is known about, but it's thought to be an aquatic dragon. So, sort of, this is the dragon that most resembles a reptile. So maybe this is the closest to like a Western dragon. Mm-hmm. And there's Panlong, water dragon, similar to Yaolong. But this one also controls time, which is what a cool thing
that's
to be able to do.
That's overpowered. That one's a bit OP.
Yeah. Then there's Hanglong. It said that the Yellow Emperor became this dragon at the end of his life. So this is what the Yellow Dragon. This is what the Yellow Emperor becomes. I've saved the best till last. The last one is called Long Wang.
Right. Good.
Oh my god.
Yeah. This can also manipulate weather and actually cause rain, like a Long Wang would.
God.
I'm so sorry. So there we go. There's the 9 Chinese dragons. And that feels like a whole other episode in itself.
I like the one that controls time.
Yeah, I thought that was my favourite, I think. That's the coolest. You know, controlling weather's pretty cool as well, though.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, but time is, I can do more with it.
Exactly. I'd much rather be able to control time.
Although sometimes you're cold and you're like, oh, just because it was a bit warmer, and you just turn that weather little thermostat up and just a little touch. That'd be nice. It's a bit chilly in here tonight.
Yeah. No, I'd always be turning the thermostat down. You know what I'm like? I'm always too hot.
Yeah.
Or causing like some snow to come or something like that. So there we go. There's my episode on dragons. We're all done.
Love it. Wasn't expecting dragons. Really cool.
Yeah, man. Was not expecting it.
Good. No, I'm glad. It was good fun.
So, yeah, thanks, Beef.
You're much welcome.
Cheers, bro.
And listeners, we're back till Christmas now. So that's Beef's episode. I'm doing one next time. Tiz has got one. And we're doing the Ghost Stories episode we've been promising. And then we'll have another little break over the Christmas period. So we've got episodes from now till Christmas to look forward to. All the usual stuff. I'll quickly blitz through it because I've got a couple of bits to talk about afterwards as well. Contact unexplainableuk@mail.com, or you can go through the website weirdtalesandtheunexplainable.com, where you can also see the blog, all the videos and stuff that Beef talks about and played. You can find all the links to those stuff on the website. On the website, you can also find links to our Twitter accounts, the Facebook account. You can buy t-shirts through TeePublic, the link's on there as well. Loads of stuff. Go send us a rating and review on iTunes, because we've been getting some shitty ones recently. We want some good ones. We get lovely emails from people, so we know people are enjoying the show. Been getting loads of emails recently, so thanks so much for those. And if you want to support me and my time editing this show, as well as my other ones, 5 Minute Folklore and Known For, the filmography podcast, then you can do that at patreon.com/bobshoy, BOBSHOY. And there's 4 extra podcasts a month on there, which are really fun and different and interesting. So go on there and check them out. And that's that stuff. Listener of the week, guys.
Listener of the week.
So I'm going to give listener of the week this week to Shane Standrill, who's a Yorkshire lad. And I actually met him at the weekend.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, I went to, in Leeds, there was a sort of small music festival. It was really cool. It was a really weird place. It was in like a basement of an old mill. I sent you guys a picture from when I was in there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like, it was a really interesting night, really fun night. I saw like 5 different bands, and Shane's band was playing Black Pudding.
Awesome.
And I knew he was playing. I knew because he had emailed us to say, I'm in this band, Black Pudding. Feel free to use us as outro music like we do sometimes with listeners' bands. And I checked them out and I really liked their music, actually. So I was like, oh, they're playing near me like this weekend. I'll go check them out. So when I saw him setting up, I snuck over and was just like, which one of you's Shane? And it was the guy I spoke to, the bassist. And he was like, it's me. I was like, this is Bob from Weird Tales, by the way, which was really threw him off guard.
Wow.
And then they played what I would say is a raucous set. And then afterwards, I chatted to him for a while. Becca was quite drunk at the time, so she said, Shane, she apologizes for wittering on. But it was really nice to meet him, and we had a good chat. And hopefully I might be meeting up with him soon to do a Weird Tales something or other, possibly. But I'll be in contact with him about that. But Shane, listener of the week. And outro music this week will be a song from Black Pudding.
Awesome. Nice.
So thanks, Shane. Have we got any marriages of the week?
No, we're still on Luke and Cara for engagement of the week. That's
cool.
That's still there.
I'm going to a wedding on Saturday. Does that count?
Do they listen to Weird Tales, Beef?
I've talked to them about it loads.
Right. If they don't listen, they can't be marriage of the week. There has been a birth of the week.
Was there?
Yeah, well, it was a while ago now, but it was when I was on our break. Anderson, never listener of the week, has had a mini Anderson.
A mini Anderson. Congratulations.
And he sent a picture of the baby Anderson a Weird Tales baby grow, which is just absolutely incredible.
I love it. I really do love that. That's fantastic dedication. I hope baby Anderson isn't sick on the baby grow.
No.
But almost definitely will do. Poo as well. There'll be poo, sick.
Definitely poo on it. Definitely all the baby sort of...
Fluids.
Fluids. That's the word I was looking for. I was going to say produces, but it didn't feel right. Baby produce.
Man. Cool.
So, yeah, that's what we got.
Oh, my God. I'm just reading the... Michael Jackson. Let's leave it.
Yeah, okay. We got a review saying we should be in prison for the slanderous stuff we said about Michael Jackson being a paedophile. I'm like, fuck that.
Because he was a paedophile.
Yeah, how dare we say that someone was a paedophile? Okay, so... I'm not cutting that either. So there we go. Are we all done? Have we got anything else to say, guys, before we get hoinked off the air?
No, we're all good.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time. This is Black Pudding to play us out with the song Sci-Fi Sigh.
Epstein didn't kill himself.
Thanks, guys. Love you lots. Bye-bye.
Bye. Making up.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.